PowerPoints need to be put up on the screen.
Welcome to our worship this morning on this Good Friday. After much anticipation during this Lenten season, we have arrived at the cross. On this Good Friday, we contemplate the good news of that cross, how Christ, with outstretched arms, enveloped a world of suffering and sin, how Christ stretched out his arms to save us. Before we enter into our call to worship, I just have a few things to highlight. Later on in our service, we will be sharing in communion together. And on your way in, you would have picked up a little packet or a baggie with your communion elements inside at the sanctuary doors. If you missed that and did not pick them up, if you wouldn't mind just signaling or raising your hand, and someone at the back will bring that to you. And also, if you ordered Pascha in the past few weeks from our Thursday morning quilting group, those are available for pickup this morning, so be sure to head to the fellowship room after our service today to pick that up. We understand that there is no good in violence, in fear, in injustice, and in cruelty. Yet we call this day good because God was there that day. We call this day good because God is here this day. Knowing that God is with us, let us have courage to hear this terrible, heart-wrenching story once again, and let us worship God. We'll continue by singing together.
Please stand if you are able. We will be singing "The River" and "Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross."
Anne can't be here today, so I will be reading for both of us. Let us focus our worship on our journey to the cross of Christ and resurrection. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. Here they crucified him. John 19, verse 16. Mother Teresa reflects on the significance of the cross. When we look at his cross, we understand his love. His head is bent down to kiss us. His hands are extended to embrace us. His heart is wide open to receive us. Isaac Watts penned the words of one of our beloved hymns. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown?
I'd ask that you join with me in prayer as we come before God this day. God of loving kindness, we arrive in the sanctuary today with conflicted hearts. We are filled with thanksgiving and praise for your saving love poured out for us in Jesus. And yet, we are also filled with sadness and grief and sorrow as we remember the death and sacrifice of your Son. You sent Christ into the world so that we might have life and live it to the full. And yet, we live lives that are sometimes hurtful and harmful, and certainly less than your intended purposes for us. At times, we stand idly by with your world filling with violence and fear. At times, our trust in you is shallow and our faithfulness wavers. When faced with times of trouble and doubt, we forget that your loving kindness guides all things. Forgive who we have been, grow and shape who we are, and direct who we will be through Christ our Lord. On this haunting holy day, we come to the place of the skull, looking to the cross, the place of our salvation. In the face of such pain and suffering, show us the face of our Savior. In the shadow of evil, show us the light of your grace. We look inside ourselves at where we have been guilty of adding to the wounds of the world. In the midst of the distractions that fill our everyday lives, may we experience stillness. Amongst the competing voices of society and the world around us, let us hear your word. In the many choices that we face, may we also strive to follow your will. As the curtain of night is torn and this dark day arrives, as our faith is tested, we wait with hope for the return of the sun. We face much conflict and divisiveness within our lives and relationships, in our community, and in the world. Today we pray for all places where conflict and cruelty are familiar, for countries where violence is ever present and war threatens, for every relationship marked by abuse and harm. We ask that you pierce the bleakness of this world with your light. We give you thanks for lessons learned, for changed hearts, for new discoveries made, and restored hope. We give thanks that you don't keep us at the cross, that though weeping may stay for the night, that there will always be joy in the morning. We give you thanks for the good news of the gospel, that in Jesus Christ we are forgiven. We pray all of this in your holy name. Amen.
Good morning. I'll be reading this morning from Hebrews 10, verses 14 to 25. Because by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, and by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
May God bless to our hearts and minds the reading of his precious word. The music ministry today has lifted our hearts in praise, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen. We began Holy Week with a charge from Taya last Sunday morning as she challenged us not to hurry through Holy Week and anticipate Resurrection Sunday, which of course we all anticipate. But let us spend time and pause and reflect over some of the significant events that has transpired during Holy Week, and through songs that have been chosen, and through the reminder from the Holy Scriptures that have been read to us, we have a most precious faith, and we have a great high priest in heaven who intercedes on our behalf. And so I was challenged this week, after listening to the sermon last Sunday, to slow down and not be too quick to anticipate and preach a meditation on Christ and his resurrection, knowing that we will be celebrating the holy ordinance of communion in a few moments, when we will be invited as the body of Christ to participate in this sacred ordinance. And so for a few moments this morning, I would like to challenge you. You probably looked at the sermon title and thought, where is Paul going with this? Falling down, but getting back up. There is a wise proverb which says, though they fall seven times, they will rise again. Proverbs 24 and verse 16. This is the truth that we wish to talk about and walk with for a few moments on this Good Friday morning. Around the Christian world today, there will be many acts of Christian devotion. On Maundy Thursday, many local congregations around the world would celebrate Maundy Thursday and remember the foot washing events that preceded the Lord's Supper with his disciples. There also will be many faithful Christians who will be walking, praying, as they visit what is known as the stations of the cross, where images that have been prepared by religious artists have set on canvas, on wood, on fabric, on stone, and in marble, in mosaic, to trace the steps of Jesus as he journeyed to the cross. From Gethsemane, from the valley, to Pilate, to his punishment, to his scourging, to his carrying of the cross beam on his way to the place of the skull, Golgotha. He journeyed to the cross. These, what have been known for many, many, many centuries as stations, represent basically visual depictions of all that Jesus must have experienced. Let's keep in mind that the overwhelming majority of Earth's population could not read. They could not read the texts. And so artists were able to depict the truths that Jesus experienced during his walk to the cross. The Via Dolorosa. They are meant to draw all of us into the passion and with our heart and with our soul to express our devotion, to linger, not to rush to Golgotha and to Resurrection Sunday, but to linger with our precious Savior, to weep with those who wept with Jesus, to experience the scourging that our Lord Jesus experienced. And so it has been from basically from historical sources, from the 3rd century, pilgrims have walked the Via Dolorosa, the stations of the cross, through the ancient streets of Jerusalem, from Gethsemane to Mount Calvary. And now, over the centuries, within church buildings, within university chapels around the world, in courtyards of some of those institutions, do we see numbered stations of the cross? Normally it's 14 or 15 of these stations. Perhaps many of you have visited ancient churches, and in those churches you would see on the different walls artists' depictions in stone or in glass or in mosaic, the stations of the cross. I have a prayerful, reflective manner. I like to move over these stations of the cross. I remember many years within Mennonite churches, in their basements, they would set up these temporary stations of the cross so that the devoted, that the members of those congregations could linger during Holy Week and ponder and pray and reflect on the stations of the cross as Jesus made his journey to Mount Calvary and to the cross where he hung. One beautiful coffee table book that is special to me is a book filled with illustrations by a Christian artist named Janet McKenzie. And she reflects over these stations of the cross with these beautiful images. Another favorite Christian pastor, poet, and a former professor at Oxford University in England has put together a series of 15 wonderful reflective poems all about the stations of the cross. After being beaten, whipped, flogged, and crushed with a crown of thorns, weary in body after a sleepless night, barely able to stay awake, but with sheer willpower was able to do so. It was only then that he was forced, as the Gospel of John tells us in John 19 and verse 7, to carry his own cross. This, of course, was a very common practice under Roman rule, that a condemned person would carry the cross beam of a piece of timber that they were to be crucified on. And so this morning, for a few moments, reflect over the falling down of Jesus as he carried that cross beam through the streets of Jerusalem and up to Mount Calvary. Now, please understand, when I say this was a difficult task, to carry a cross beam on one shoulder. I can remember as a young man, I had a job working in Department 37 of Sears in the warehouse. And my job was to roll out the linoleum, to roll out the carpeting, and then I would cut it, roll it, seal it, package it, and then I'd put it up on my shoulder. They'd either be 6 foot widths or 9 foot widths or 12 foot widths, and I'd put it up on my shoulder. And they were some heavy, and I had to walk with them from the cutting floor to the shipping bay where they would be loaded for the delivery the next day. And so it was possible to carry a crossbeam. But after what Jesus experienced, physically exhausted, deeply wounded already, probably with inches of his death, but his work was not yet finished. He had to go to the cross. And in the gospel narratives, it's summarized, and there they crucified him. But before they crucified him, he fell on his way to Mount Calvary. It's interesting that when one views the stations of the cross, there are three of those stations, three of those images where Jesus is pictured falling down under the weight of the cross. And so for a few moments, I want you to rehearse the steps of Jesus as he walked, as he stumbled, and as he succumbed under the weight of the cross, only to get back up again. How could he do it? Well, the synoptic gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us of one Simon of Cyrene, who was pulled out of the crowd, and he carried Christ's cross. And when you splice together John's account where he says Jesus carried his own cross, it stands to make sense that he began with taking the cross, shouldering it on his own, and then the soldiers wanting to speed up the process and seeing the pathetic condition of Jesus, grab somebody out of the crowd. By the way, there were other people in the crowd that day. As one continues to walk with Jesus, you see some of the faithful witnessing the visual trauma that was before their eyes. Luke's gospel tells us that there was a crowd of women who were wailing, who were weeping at the sight of seeing their Jesus. Religious tradition has it that there was a woman, and we don't know her name, but over the centuries the Christian church has referred to this precious woman who was pictured in one of the stations when Jesus fell as Veronica. And we're told that Veronica, she held out a cloth as Jesus was bleeding, as he was weeping, as he was sweating, and she took that cloth and she rubbed it over the image, the face of our Lord Jesus. What an act of love, to wipe away the tears, to wipe away the sweat and the blood coming from the brow of Jesus. What an act of love and compassion. And she is remembered in one of those stations of the cross as one of the weeping women who came out of the crowd and touched Jesus. Others point to Mary, the mother of our Lord, who we are told when Jesus was presented. You remember this. We read this when not today, but we read it during the Advent season. We are told that the temple priest Simeon, when he was 8 days old, spoke to Mary. And he said to the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ,
He said to Mary, a sword is going to pierce your own soul. Luke chapter 2, verse 35. I wonder if mother had an urge to snatch her boy away, to hug him. Or did she too shoulder some of the pain that Jesus carried? As we stoop down and worship our Savior this morning, let's also witness this valiant mother. May it be so, who gave her son, and she carried a cross of grief. And along the journey that is our life, let's accept it. We all fall down. But we too are called to shoulder our crosses, to complete our tasks, to finish the work God has appointed for each of us. You know, there's different kinds of crosses that we're called to bear, beloved fellow follower of Jesus. The first comes out of nowhere, without warning. It's not of our own hands. It's not of our own making. Just one of the circumstances of life. While the second kind of cross we make for ourselves. Ponder that for a moment and identify with bearing the cross that we must carry. All of us have had occasions when we have fallen down. You know about those times. An illness that knocks you down to your knees. A sudden blow that came out of nowhere. And it could have been a blow that came from a family member or a friend. Or it could be personal issues that you had to confront and deal with. And it knocked you down. Veronica. Mary, the mother of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Simon. Who have been the instruments of God to help you under the weight of the burdens you have had to carry? Who was there for you when you fell down? Who was there to soak up your tears and to staunch the blood? Who was it that was like a mother to you when you had fallen? Was it a family member? Someone who mopped your brow when you were overwhelmed with fever? Was it a stranger who stopped and stooped and helped you? The Apostle Paul shares an important principle concerning living the Christian life when the Apostle Paul writes in Galatians chapter 5, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Verse 2. Only to remind each of us should carry their own load. Verse 5. Beloved, there is the balance. We each have our load to carry, and we each are being challenged in Holy Scripture to help one another when we have fallen under the burdens of life. We all know that as the cross grows heavier and heavier, it becomes more difficult to get up, but you struggle and try until you're up and walking again. Jesus never gave up. He went all the way to the cross of Calvary. Don't give up. It's a terrible journey. And as we ponder these stations where Jesus fell and got back up beneath the load of the cross. But there are times when you feel you have been conquered by weaknesses and burdens. I would exhort and encourage those who are perhaps listening at home, or perhaps will maybe have a written copy of the message. I would encourage you to think through how you can be one like a Veronica, like a mother whose heart is broken, like a Simon.
He represents Simon. He represents one who compelled into service. And he served the Lord. I remember in one of my congregations, we were looking for a Sunday school teacher for grade 7 and 8 boys. What a challenge they are. Grade 7 or 8 boys. And we had this big old trucker in our congregation. He loved the Lord Jesus, and he drove his semi Monday to Friday, and he had weekends off. And I took the Sunday school manual to him one time, and I said, "Ted, I want you to teach our grade 7 and 8 boys." He hadn't gone to school. He knew how to drive a truck. He was a helper. When we got into a Sunday school bus ministry, he was the driver of our bus. But Ted said, "All right, Pastor. All right. I'll give it a go." And for many, 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 many years, he taught those grade 7 and 8 boys. And thanks be to God, many of them have carried on in their Christian journey. Veronica represents compassionate help. She can't do much, but she offers what little she can. We need men and women to do those little things that help others to carry their personal loads. Do you notice the needs of others? Help. I remember one occasion I was not looking forward to a hospital visit. I had no familiarity with this particular illness. But one of the men in our congregation was recovering from that very illness. And I said to this man, he was just like a Veronica, I said, "Look, I got to make a hospital visit. And I can't relate to this church member. But I know you can, and you can be there to hold his hand." We prayed together. What a wonderful ministry. Can't do much. But Pastor Paul, if you want me to come with you to the hospital and sit with this man who has been diagnosed with this particular disease, I'll do it. He stepped out of the crowd and he was there to assist. We thank God for precious ones who help us when we fall. May you and I, as we witness our Lord Jesus falling and getting back up, may we be those who will come and help one another. Thanks be to God. Amen.
We will now sing the song, "The Wonderful Cross."
Thank you. Thank you for that music. As you came in, there were the offering of the elements of communion, and hope that you were able to avail yourself of those. You may recall that we have shared communion with this style previously, but just to give you a few instructions of a reminder. If you take the cup out, notice for most of you, those with gluten-free, the wafer is separate. But for the rest of us, on the top, there's a very thin, clear cellophane layer on the tab. You need to kind of separate that because the purple foil tab opens up the cup. And you want to open up the wafer first. Otherwise, it gets a little jerky and yeah, some of you know, have experienced that. So just take your time with that. If you need some help getting that separated, ask for someone nearby. When I extend the invitation, please make use of those. Afterwards, we put the cup back in the plastic bag, partly because there's always a bit of residue in the cup, and so rather than having it drip here and there, clothes or on the bench, just put it in the plastic bag. On your way out at the two outside doors, there are containers to dispose of those, so you can make use of those. In the scriptures read for us earlier, hear again these words. Brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings. There are times in my life when I need to be reminded that it is only by the suffering and blood of Jesus that makes it possible for me to enter into the holy presence of God. Years ago, my wife Renata and I were visiting Mennonite mission workers Steve and Janet Plenard, who were serving at the time in Brazil, the capital city of Brasilia. Aside from our friendship, the reason we needed to visit Steve and Janet is that a couple of months earlier, and we actually changed our travel plans to accommodate that, a couple of months earlier, a mission colleague of theirs was brutally, bloodily murdered. Spare you the details. It wasn't nice. A couple of years earlier, Steve and Janet had been visiting us at a time when I, in particular, needed someone to lift me up. And so when this happened for Steve and Janet, we could not avoid making that extra trip to visit them because they needed a hand up. When we visited them, it actually took 3 days. 3 days until they started talking about the incident. Among the sites that we went to visit in Brasilia, they took us to Dom Bosco Cathedral to see the beautiful building and its architecture, but most notably, to sit in the sanctuary in front of the cross, the crucifix. Here Steve shared that since the murder had occurred, he had come to this particular sanctuary several times to pray, because he needed to be near the suffering Jesus and be reminded that Jesus suffers with us in our pain. And so today on Good Friday, reflecting on our experiences, the suffering we experience from sin, whether it's ours or someone else's, and the other experiences we have, we come to the cross of Christ, and we are reminded that he suffers with us. And so we come to this table with the symbolic gift of Jesus' body broken for the redemption of our sins, and we share the cup, the symbolic outpouring of Jesus' blood, in remembrance of his life given for us. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ, it's right that we recall the meaning of the Lord's Supper, the remembrance of Jesus' sacrifice for the sin of the world, for your sin, for my sin. The Lord's Supper is an encounter also with the risen Christ, remembering his teachings of faith, making a commitment of communion with the baptized believers, and reclaiming us as his body, the church. And so the supper is also an anticipation of the day when Jesus will come again. A reminder that it is the Lord's table, and all who belong to Jesus are invited to come and share. Therefore, let us come to the table in faith with anticipation of Jesus coming to us and coming again. I invite you to bow with me in prayer. God, these days it seems that there is so much in the world that's out of control. And in so many ways, there is suffering. And for many, it's overwhelming. Like those who stood at the foot of the cross and watched helplessly while Jesus died, we turn our hearts to you, seeking healing in the midst of our pain. We come to the table at the invitation of Jesus, who came to be with us and to make us holy and whole. And so we join our hearts and voices to pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. At the table, as Jesus shared broken bread with his disciples, he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake of the wafer together. Christ's body. In the same way at the table, Jesus took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Christ's blood shed for the forgiveness of your sins. Let us partake together. The worship team to lead us in song. Oh, the video first. Excuse me. Then the song.
Walking on the road to Jerusalem.
time had come to sacrifice again. My two small sons, they walk beside me down the road. The reason that they came was to watch the lamb. And they said, Daddy, Daddy, well, what will we see there? There's so much that we don't understand. And so I told them of Moses, Father Abraham. And I said, dear children, watch the lamb. There will be so many in Jerusalem. Must be sure this little lamb doesn't run away. And I told of Moses and Father Abraham. Then I said, dear children, watch the lamb. When we reach the city, I knew something must be wrong. There were no joyful worshippers there, no joyful worship song. And I stood there with my children in the midst of angry men. Then I heard a crowd cry out, let's crucify him. For mercy, the people gave him none. The second one was violent, and he was arrogant and loud. I still can hear his angry voice screaming at the crowd. And someone said, there's Jesus. I scarce believe my eyes. A man so badly beaten, he barely looked alive. Blood poured from his body, from the thorns on his brow. Running down the cross, falling. He struggled, and I watched him when he fell. The cross came down upon his back. The crowd began to yell. In that moment, I felt such agony. In that moment, I felt such loss. Till a Roman soldier grabbed my arm and screamed, "Yo! Carry his cross." At first, I tried to resist him, but his hand reached for his sword. So I knelt and I took the cross. Put it on my shoulder. We started down the street. And the blood that he'd been shedding was
was running down my cheek. They led us to Golgotha. They drove nails deep in his feet and head. On the cross I heard you pray, Father, forgive them. Never have I seen such love in any other eye. Into thy hands I commit my spirit, he prayed. And then he died. I stood for what seemed like years, lost all sense of time. Then I felt these little hands holding on to mine. My children stood there weeping, and I heard the oldest say, Father, please forgive us. The lamb ran away.
Amazing grace.
We will now sing the song Amazing Grace, which flows into My Chains Are Gone.
Thank you for coming and sharing in the worship service on this very special day. Thank you to the musicians for leading us, Paul in your message, Taya in worship leading, Pete. Also to those upstairs who make a lot of the things happen up front here. Thank you. Just a reminder, Sunday morning, Easter service at 10:30, we look forward to celebrating the powerful resurrection of God at work in Jesus Christ, which is also our gift from God. Now, as you leave this time of worship, know that the Lord is near. He is with you in your pain. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Live life, knowing that the Lord is Lord of all. Go in peace. Amen.
Thank you.